Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome. I really appreciate you being here today. Today, also, we have Greg Keeley, and Greg is a certified financial planner along with a variety of a bunch of things, which he'll explain to us. He's got all kinds of acronyms after his name. And Greg is the very best at what he does. He's a private wealth advisor. He works at Ameriprise Financial Services. And I've worked with him a while, and I can tell you, I work with a lot of financial planners and a lot of people in this, and it's one of the most important things you can do. Mortgages, to me, I love mortgages, and I think they're extremely important. It's extremely important that we walk down the path correctly. And I will even admit, I think financial planning is probably even more important than a mortgage, but mortgage is a piece of the financial plan. Greg, could you just give us kind of an idea of your background and who you are?
Sure, thanks. Great to be here, Rick, and I appreciate the opportunity to spend a little time with you, talk through some of these issues. So I, as you said, I'm the managing partner at Acuitas Financial Group. We're a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Ameriprise is one of the leading financial planning firms in the country. And so I'm a certified financial planner, a chartered retirement planning counselor, a certified divorce financial analyst, and I'm certified in long-term care. So that's all those weird letters behind my name.
Yes.
Been at it for about 23 years, and we manage a pretty large group of 22 of us. In we have an office in Indy and two in Fort Wayne. Just a lot of passion around helping people arrange their financial lives so that they can go and follow their purpose while we look after their money. Because living your life in purpose, on purpose, that's what we think it's about.
Yeah, and it's such a an important piece of people's lives. It, not only, I remember I talked to somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they said that one of the problems that people have is they save for retirement, but they never plan on how to spend their retirement. Is that accurate?
We see that all the time. And the most successful people have something that they're planning to do with the rest of their life. They are following that next phase of meeting their purpose in the world and making a difference. And whether that's spending time with the grandkids, volunteering at places that are doing things that matter, even playing golf, if that's what you want to do the rest of your life, that's fine. But a lot of people find that as fun and frustrating as something like golf can be, moving into that next phase with a vision of how they're going to impact their community and the world, that's where the satisfaction of a working career well done can come from.
Yeah, that's wild. The things you talk about, you don't think about, most of us don't think about until we get to that point, I would think, but you think about it all the time. It's what you do.
That's right. I mean, if we're going to take care of our money, be good stewards of it, and go through all the effort of making sure that whether the markets are up or down, and they're going to be up and they're going to come down, making sure that those financial resources are available, why shouldn't we make sure we know what they're available for? And, what are we going to do with our day all day when we don't have to work for money anymore? It's fun to think about. It's fun to plan around. It's fun to spend time exploring that and coming up with the answer of what is it I'm here to do?
Right. Yeah. That's why people should talk to you. I think that's part of why what makes separates you from many of them. These same retired clients, the retired people out there, how are they dealing with these low interest rates?
Well, we've had a phenomenal last 20 years and an unbelievable last 10, where central banks and governments in the world have had to face some really unprecedented issues. The population of the developed world is getting a lot older, and the younger folks that have come behind us aren't having as many children, and they are a smaller population if you look at the baby boomers and those behind them. And so we have these huge entitlement programs of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and other things that we just don't have enough workers to pay for. And so governments and central banks have worked really hard to try and stimulate the economy to deal with some of these issues in the longer term. And they've had to do unimaginable things that we would have thought impossible 30 years ago. Well, now it's normal that we suppress interest rates on purpose to zero. It's normal that we print money and throw it around the world. So far, it hasn't had too many ill effects. In fact, as far as stock markets go around the world, it's been pretty good. But what it's done to savers, to people who, you know, want to invest their money, get a decent return, and not take a lot of risk, it's made that virtually impossible. It wasn't that long ago that you could put your money in a very safe government bond and get 5 or 6% interest, and you know, we can live off that. Well, now, you know, you look at a 10-year government bond, and you want to put your money somewhere safe. Well, if you lend money to the government of Germany for 10 years, you have to pay them 0.3% interest. What? You loan them your money?
How does that work?
Yeah. Well, a third of the global bond market almost is in that situation. If you loan your money to the U.S. government, which is fine, they're going to pay you back. Even if they have to print the money, they'll give you the money back. They're going to offer you, you know, today, and those rates change, but today it's around 1.8% per year. And, you know, if you're planning on living off 4 or 5% of your money and now you're going to get 1.8%, you either have to have a lot less money, a lot less income rather, or a lot more money earning that lower rate. So what people have done, I think, you know, wisely or unwisely, we'll find out. But what a lot of folks have done is just put more risk in their portfolio. And those are the folks we worry about, because risk doesn't matter on the upside. It only matters when things go down, right? And things haven't really gone down for 10 years on a sustainable basis. And so that's where we really want to help folks take a look at what they own and why they own it. And, you know, what are the bad case scenarios, and can they sustain 2008 when the market drops 50-60%, you know, is that something they can even recover from? So we have to certainly be more creative, and we have to certainly look into the market and find those places where we can get reasonable rates of return without taking unreasonable amounts of risk. And as we talk, we'll kind of go through some of those.
Yeah, that makes sense, obviously, because these are kind of historically low. I'm guessing they're like mortgage rates. We're in a historically low time for mortgage rates. This seems like that's the same way. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, you have to go back a long time into some pretty weird periods in economic history to find sustained interest rates at these levels. And the implication of that for folks that are retiring today at 60, 65 years old and going to live potentially to be 100 or more, you got to sustain an income that has to grow with inflation over 30 or 40 years. That takes some very careful planning. And we just want to be sure, as we help folks through this process, that we're very aware of what the downside risks are, and that we can sustain the next recession that drops the market 20 or 50 or 60%. Because no one can tell you the future, and no one can tell you when the next recession is coming. But I think we'd be pretty foolish to believe that no recession is ever coming again. So I can't tell you when, but we got to be ready for it tomorrow, or if it's another 10 years from now.
Yeah, we know at some point it's going to come, and a lot of the experts have been saying it's coming soon. But they keep saying that, but then they keep moving out the target, because it seems like the market's getting, you know, the stocks have been on a roar. Now, bonds have, you know, more, I watched the mortgage-backed security. So mortgage-backed security bonds have been a little, you know, they're up and down. It seems like every day it's a different story. You think, okay, here we go. We're going to, the bonds are going up. We're going to see a little lower interest rates. And then the next day, bonds drop like crazy and the rates go up a little bit. And, but all in all, we end up kind of at the same place. But I'm thinking it must be really difficult to make a plan. And it's why I think you need somebody, people who are doing this need somebody like you, because at 1.8% return, that's, I mean, on $1 million, that's not very much money. That's what, $18,000?
That's exactly $18,000.
So if you have $1 million and you think, I'm a millionaire, I'm going to live well, unless you dip into your $1 million, you only get $18,000 back.
If you want the risk-free rate of return, that is exactly right. So where that would have produced $50,000 or $60,000 a couple decades ago, that's the challenge. How do we put that money to work in a way that has a reasonable probability of not dropping 20 or 30 or 50% that you can't sustain from? Because if you keep taking money off that portfolio, it can't come back. That is the trick. And where we get concerned is when we see portfolios that have an awful lot of risky stock or even risky bonds. So what a lot of folks have done is said, okay, well, I'll get more yield, I'll get more income if I go invest in a company that has a lower credit rating or a company that has a weaker balance sheet, which is all fine until that recession comes and that company defaults on that loan and now your money is gone. But you did get 4% instead of 2% before your money disappeared. So those are the things that we're really concerned about for folks, because keeping an eye on that downside risk and actively working to manage the assets that you own that are exposed to that downside risk, this is the work that we have to do now that we didn't have to do in the past. And it takes more sophisticated strategies and more active strategies when you're taking money off of the portfolios than probably ever before. And I'll tell you, you're talking about the experts in predicting the next recession. I have noticed that all the experts that we have exposure to, and we do work with just about every major investment firm and bank around the world, some brilliant, brilliant people with some amazing insights, and they all are really good at predicting the past.
I'm good at that too.
I honestly, not very many of them are very good at predicting the future, and so what you'll find, and what I'd tell your listeners to be careful of, is you'll find people get touted out there by themselves or by the media, and they'll say, hey, this person predicted X and this person predicted Y, and so we should listen to them. Well, probably what happened is that person predicted X and Y for 20 straight years until it finally happened, and then they looked like a genius. So we just have to be careful about thinking that we or anybody else can predict the future. We can't, not accurately, not with your retirement life savings, absolutely not. Instead, let's put ourselves in a position that if things go up, we have one or two good options. And if things go down, we have one or two good options. And there's plenty of ways to structure a retirement portfolio or an investment portfolio in general so that you can do that. And again, we just have to know that if Amazon goes up 5,000%, that's wonderful, but putting all our money in one place and all our eggs in one basket isn't likely to get the results that we want over time.
Right. You know, and to your point on, you know, they predicted that for 20 years. I kind of remember when I was much younger, still living at home, my parents took my little brother and I to a horse track. And we got to, my dad gave us like 10 bucks and we could bet on the horses, right? And my little brother, he won every race. And the reason he won every race is he picked every horse.
It's one way to do it.
So you can be right every time if you pick all the horses.
Right. And that can get expensive.
Yeah, it can. Well, you know, with mortgage rates where they are, I have a lot of customers who they can pay cash for homes, but a lot of them choose to go ahead and finance because rates are so low. And then they feel like they can earn more, at least when the market changes. How do you look at that with, when you're looking at it with a client? Is it okay to go ahead and pay cash for the home? Are they better off financing and keeping their money invested? What is your normal advice on something like that?
Well, I would have to say I don't have any normal advice because each one of those situations is so different. But to your point, we have to be more open-minded these days about how we get this job done of creating reliable, long-term, lifelong income streams while really understanding the risk we're taking. And sometimes that involves using things that we wouldn't otherwise use. But when we get into these complicated products, like, for example, one thing that's got a terrible reputation are guaranteed minimum income annuities or annuities in general. Terribly expensive, lots of different stipulations and fees, and used properly, sometimes can create as a part of a portfolio that spot where that pension used to be, where you got that guaranteed lifetime income, it can serve that purpose, but we have to understand them and we can't let someone who doesn't know how that product works sell it to us. If I'm investing in anything and the word sale is in it, I'm probably not in the right office, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And another thing that's gotten terrible press that I know you're incredibly familiar with is something like a reverse mortgage. For the right people used the right way, it can be a powerful tool in extracting that home equity that we've spent the last 15, 20, 30 years building, a way to use that to support you in your retirement rather than sitting there doing nothing for anyone. But again, you do such a great job, and I've watched you do this. You do such a great job of explaining to the right people the way these things work and where the pitfalls and opportunities are, and keeping folks that you know shouldn't be in that kind of a situation away from it. But you know, when I go through and I read through the web browser or the AARP or many other places, I often see only the pitfalls. And I tell you, we have to keep an open mind and use these things properly.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That's part of you know what I do. And it sounds like I knew when I asked that question, the word I used was the wrong word, because I'm the same way. There is no right answer for a product. This person, a reverse mortgage may be perfect for this person, and it may be terrible for the next two people. You know, you have to make sure that you're giving them the right product for them. It kind of goes on for us. It's also in our industry, you know, you get many people who say, I don't want an ARM product. I don't want an ARM. I want a fixed rate. And you know what? In the market right now, with the way the rates are, they're right. There is no reason really to go on an ARM product. The rates are for the rates of the IFC, the rates are basically the same as a fix, so there's no reason to do that. But when you're looking at in a normal market, you know, it depends on how long you're going to be in the house. It depends on, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, how quickly you're going to pay the house off. There's so many variety of things that can change whether that's a good product or not. And so it's really important that we actually ask, like you do, you ask the questions, you find out the information, you find out what their situation is, what they want to accomplish, and then we can help them pick the right product for them. It's ultimately their choice, but we try to help them so they make a good choice, but ultimately it's always the client's choice.
Well, absolutely. And they, you know, they trust us to know what we're talking about and to use their particular situation to give them some great advice around it. Lots of times you'll catch me saying something like, if you try and put in a nail with a screwdriver, you're going to have a rough day. And if you try to put in a screw with a hammer, you're going to have a rough day. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the hammer or the screwdriver. It's just, we got to use the right tool at the right time for the right job. And that's where guys like you and me come in where we can go and help people figure out of all the tools in this toolbox, which one should we be deploying right now for you? And not be afraid to say, hey, the situation has changed. We need to move on to something else. Even if we take a right turn or a left turn or straight or forward or go back, these are unprecedented times. At no time in human history, 6,000 years of humans trading money together, have we had a negative interest rate. A negative interest rate means that as the borrower, you get paid to take the money that you may or may not pay back. That's never happened because that's absolutely insane.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
But as I mentioned, almost $18 trillion of the global bond market, that's loans people are making to corporations and governments, are yielding negative interest rates. We don't know what that means because humans have never been stupid enough to do this in the past.
Right.
But it's happening right now, and it may be the most brilliant thing we've ever done. It may be the most dangerous thing we've ever done in financial markets. So we need to be heads up aware, looking 360 degrees for any opportunity to get the income that we need over time while managing, understanding, and reducing risk at every opportunity. And that is why you will just not catch me or any of my people saying no without looking deeply into it.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, you impress me because you, first of all, it doesn't seem like you are somebody who actually truly cares about your client and you really want to do what's best for them. You want to guide them through the processes and make sure that they make a good decision. And I think it matters to you greatly that if it's in retirement, that their retirement does what it's supposed to do and they can have the life that they want to have. I know you do a lot of charitable work. You do a lot of, you know, helping. And I know that's part of who you are and your character. So we appreciate that. That's impressive. I want to get back a little bit on, and you touched on it a little bit, but because of the way the market is, stocks, bonds, interest rates, can you kind of touch on, you know, where you think the markets are going at this point in time, what you think is going to happen? We want you to do that. See the future, Greg. See the future.
Well, I am documented to be as bad at predicting the future as everyone else. So when we look at these things, as I said earlier, it's really important to remember every minute of our investing career that we don't know what's going to happen. If we approach the construction of our investment portfolio with that in mind, we get a much stronger result and a much more balanced portfolio. Where a lot of folks get in trouble, and this is clients and investment advisors as well, is that we fool ourselves into believing that we know something. We could say several years ago, you know, Walmart is the biggest retailer in the world. They're always going to be the biggest retailer in the world. Their stock's always going to go up. Well, except for the 10 or 15 years when it didn't, and they're no longer the world's biggest retailer, right? There's this other little group that kind of took that over. We can tell ourselves stories about the way things are and the way things are going to be all we want. The point is we don't know. So if we approach the world with that view, if we approach the investment markets with that view, then we want to say things like, okay, when I look at this market, what is overpriced relative to what we know about the past and we know about the product? And what is underpriced relative to those same terms? Well, we tend to want to sell the things that are overpriced and we want to buy the things that we think are underpriced. And so overlaying the diversification that we put into the portfolio, we're not afraid to trade options. We're not afraid to put an annuity in the contract. We're not afraid to look at a reverse mortgage. We're not afraid to invest in boring bonds. And we're not afraid to invest in emerging technologies like what we saw Amazon do and Netflix and Facebook. And today, as we look at the 5G revolution that is going to create the opportunity for autonomous vehicles and autonomous drones and the Internet of Things, for your clothes to monitor your health and the caloric intake, at the end of the day, you go and you say, oh, well, I ate 2,843 calories and I burned 8. Oh, I got some work to do. I just gained, you know, 7.8 pounds. Or whatever. all the world is going to, the technology that we may see transform the way we do everything over the next 5 or 10 years is going to be fantastic. So we're building portfolios of strong companies that pay dividends consistently over time on top of new and emerging and disruptive technologies, using every opportunity we have to reduce risk in portfolios. And again, those are some more sophisticated strategies at times that can and sometimes be a more difficult to understand. But putting the time into understanding that can realize some fantastic results.
You know, I know you know, all that makes a big difference, and you got to be careful with what you do. We're running out of time, but I would love for you to kind of give people an idea how they can contact you. What's the best way to get a hold of you if they have any needs, and kind of what you can help them with?
Well, thanks. So my name is Greg Keel. That's Greg with 2 G's at the end, G-R-E-G-G. Last name's Keel, K-E-E-L-E. If you Google that, you're going to find all kinds of fantastic stuff. GregKeel.com is our website. And you can email me at greg.keel@ampf.com. That's Alpha Mike Papa Frank. So easiest way is to Google, and you'll come into all kinds of fun stuff and get some resources to connect us. We're here for you, glad to answer any questions that you might have, and love meeting new and impressive people.
Well, hey, Greg, I appreciate you joining me today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Awesome for the opportunity. Thank you so much. Love what you're doing.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Next week, we'll discuss what a Fed cut really means as John Iacona, Advisor Mortgage Group's very own mortgage market analyst, he'll be joining me, and he'll explain the recent Fed cut and what that actually means to the long term. He's going to be seeing the future. Hopefully he'll be able to give us that information. You guys have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus with Rick Rickma. Please join us again next Saturday at 3:30 on Freedom 95.